Today, we've been talking about keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's easy to say, oh, I love God. A lot of people say, I love God. But if we really love Jesus, then we will keep the commandments that he told us to keep. We will do what he told us to do. So we're going to look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And it's cool. I felt like the Lord had let me know that this was the passage I was going to be preaching on last week. And I honestly, you know, I preached on this passage before, but I felt like we're going to come from kind of a different angle today. So Matthew 16, 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, you can be seated. Now, the word deny means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone, to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. And so today we're going to talk at first about denying ourselves. And it's very cool how God often sets up the service, because Brian was talking in Sunday school about how you can't focus on yourself. Because when you focus on yourself, you can't do the things that God is calling you to do. And then today in worship, we were reminded that we can't focus on ourselves. We have to focus on God, on his worthiness, on his faithfulness, on how good and awesome he is, on how worthy of praise he is. So Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross and you have to follow me. Now, take up your cross. We're going to talk about that second part later, because the cross was not like something that people wore around their neck back in those days. Now we think of it as a symbol of hope and, you know, just what Jesus did on the cross. And people, you know, you see it even non-Christian people have crosses just because it's a cool symbol. But back in that day, it was a terrible, shameful, painful symbol of death. And so Jesus said, you have to take up your cross and follow me, because we as Christians do have to learn to die to self. But the sad thing is, often, like Janine was talking about, people stop there. Well, it's just so hard to be a Christian. I have to give up so much. You know, I can't drink and I can't, you know, get drunk anymore, and I can't hang out with my friends anymore, and I can't, you know, I have to get up early and go to church, and, you know, being a Christian is just so hard. We die to self so that we can live to God, so that we can live with his purpose, with his understanding of who we are, of who he created us to be. And when we don't live that way, many times people spend their whole life trying to find themselves, because they never find themselves in who God created them to be. We were created to reflect his image. And when we don't understand that, and we're so busy trying to reflect our own, it is exhausting. I think of people like Elvis, who spent his whole life and then he had this great fame and ended up dying. I mean, a terrible way, because of when we exalt self, we were not created to exalt and lift up self. And when we spend all of our time doing that, not only is it counterproductive and exhausting, but ultimately it ends in death, and then we have nothing to show for it. So we are to deny ourselves. Now, this is not a popular message, especially in today's society. But yet today's society is very much about me, very much more so than it used to be even. If you look back in like the 50s, I mean, sin is always about self. So, but this, our society, we are more and more telling people, you need to live for you. You need to do what makes you happy. You need to live, you know, in a way that you want to live. And it's destruction. Because we were not created to live for self. Because Jesus said, deny yourself. And the way that he created us to live is the best way. Ultimately, he's God. So living his way is always the best way. But because so much of our tendency is to focus on self, we spend so much time focusing on self. What I can do, what I can't do, how I feel, what I like, what I look like, what other people think of me. Most of us spend our days with those five things. I'm going to say them again. What I can do, what I can't do, how I feel, what I like, and what I look like. Those are the things that define our existence. But do you notice how many I's there are in that statement? In every statement, the subject is I. And we as people naturally spend our life focused on me. But the sad thing is, when all of us are focused on me, all of us are frustrated because you're focused on you instead of being focused on me. And then I'm upset because you're not focused on me because you're too busy being focused on you. And that's sad. When if we would all focus our attention on God, then God will allow us to focus on each other, and he will fill our needs, and he will make us live with purpose and fill us with understanding and with love and with grace. And so following Jesus has to focus more on following him and less on self. That's why Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as I said, the world today is all about self, self-gratification, which is the act of pleasing oneself. Self-actualization, the realization or fulfillment of one's talents and potentialities, especially considered as a drive or need present in everyone. All of us want to know why we were created. What is my purpose here? And you know what the awesome thing is? When we serve God, he will show us what our purpose is. He will show us who he created us to be. And he did create us to be special and to have purpose just the same. And we're going to look at this in a minute, so I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We need to know our purpose. Our purpose as Christians has to shift from fulfilling self and selfish desires to dying to self and living for and with him. He created us in his image. Way back at the beginning, in his likeness, Genesis 1:26-27 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Now this is, of course, before the fall. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man, or mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So our goal should be to reflect God in three ways. Reflect his image, reflect his light, and reflect his beauty. He created us, and when we are focused on him, we begin to look like him. So we are to reflect his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18, I love this verse, because it says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, there is a lot of depth that we could go into. I'm sure there are things that the Lord still needs to teach me about this scripture. But what I understand is that as I look at Christ, as I behold him, I am transformed into his image by the Holy Spirit. So as I focus, Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, so many times we get me in there instead of it being about God. It says he is the author and he is the finisher. And most times when we feel like we're failing as Christians and we feel like quitting, check yourself how many I statements are involved before you quit. Because usually that's when we feel like quitting. I know this from personal experience. But God, I just am not able, and I'm just so weak, and I just keep failing, and I just can't do it. And all of the focus there, I. And yet, the scripture says, he is the author, and he is the finisher of our faith. So when I stop looking inward and at myself, and I start looking upward at Jesus, and I realize, wait, Jesus is the one who died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. Jesus is the one whose strength I can do all things through. Jesus is the one who is able and willing to help me and loves me and created me with a purpose. And so when we begin to focus on self, which is most of us our natural tendency, at least it is mine, that's when we start to realize how much of a failure we are. And we feel so unworthy and we feel so everything else. But when we focus on Jesus is when we are changed into his image. It's an amazing thing. And so we are to reflect his image. When we focus on God and let him direct our lives, we begin to reflect the attributes of God. Put up that first PowerPoint, Joe. So this is our family. Aw. Yeah, Jude is in the picture. I was still pregnant at that point, and I have a picture of him in a minute. Don't worry. But if you look at our children, and it's funny. My mom has always said, like, the way that Silas is smiling and his eyes are almost closed, my mom always said, that's how you smile, Shannon. Like, my eyes would close completely because my whole face smiles. You know, Jude smiles like that. And he's smiling, and it's so wonderful. He just smiles and laughs and talks to us. But if you look at that, you can see different attributes from Rick and I. Now, when you get to know my children, you go, she is just like her daddy, or he is just like her mama, because Lydia is more like Rick and Josiah is more like me in a lot of ways. And Ezra is probably the biggest mixture of the two of us in all the way around. And Silas is a little bit of both, honestly, and all of us. But this, as much as Lydia, her personality is like Rick, very often I go, no, that's more like me. Like, she's more like me in that way. And the same way that Josiah looks so much like Rick. And, I mean, people told me from the time I had him, by the way, don't ever say this to a woman that has just birthed a baby. You didn't have nothing to do with that baby. I want to say, excuse me? Carried him for 9 months, labored for 14 hours, and you're telling me I had quite a bit to do, actually. Just the fact that he doesn't look like me doesn't mean that I have nothing. And as he got older and we went, oh, yeah, there's quite a bit of me in there. Listen, as proud as I am of my children, don't you understand that we are to reflect the attributes of God? That when people see us and when we are looking at Jesus and reflecting God and people go, they act just like their father. Man, I just see Jesus in you. That is a wonderful, awesome thing. The same way that I go, oh, if you flip to the next PowerPoint. Oh, my little Judy Cutie. But he is a mixture. And I can't wait to see his personality and what type of ways that he reflects. Because right now he's very happy. And I don't know if that's the age thing or if that's just his personality. But I'm very excited to see how he is going to reflect who God created him to be. Not just, now I see parts of myself and I see parts of Rick in there. But more importantly, as he becomes who God has created him to be, he will begin to reflect the attributes of his Father God. And then he will be who God has created him to be, because he will have peace like God has peace. The Bible says, and all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That's one of the benefits of serving the Lord, is helping them to understand the peace that comes from God. That as children of God, we don't have to be anxious and worry all the time. In fact, Jesus said, don't worry. Instead, we can pray about things. And so we are created to be a reflection of our Father God. The problem is the world tells us to reflect self, but we're going to look at the source of that, because it goes all the way back to the enemy, to the devil, Satan. He stopped wanting to reflect God. He wanted to reflect himself. He became focused on his own beauty and his own brightness and wanted to reflect self instead of his creator. Satan is a created being. If you look in Ezekiel 28:17, and we're going to read this in the King James Version instead of New King James. But it's important that we understand, some people put God and Satan as equal, good and evil. No, Satan is a created being. He has always been under God. He will always be under God. He is not above God. He is not equal with God. He was a cherub that fell, that God threw him out of heaven because of what we're going to read. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Look a few verses back in verse 14. And we're going to switch back to New King James. It says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. And then we're going to look in Isaiah 14, 13 through 15. Verse 13 says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart. Now notice how many I's there are in this statement. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So when Satan fell, he made it his goal then to pull men into the same wrong purpose. His whole goal was to teach people to begin to reflect themselves. And by reflecting themselves, they were doing his bidding. What he ultimately was trying to do was reflect self instead of reflecting God. And like I said, we see the danger here. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. Now, see, you see, even here, he didn't say I will be above the Most High. I think even he knew that there were limits to where he could ascend. But he still, in Ezekiel 28:17, it said, you have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. He got so focused on his own brightness that even the wisdom that he had was corrupted. When we get so focused on self, we can corrupt the wisdom that we have because we begin to look inward and focus inward, and it's corrupted. So when he fell, and we're going to look in Genesis 3:4, he tempted Eve. It says in verse 3:4 of Genesis, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Notice, and you will be like God. He said, I will be like God. So now he's telling Eve, you will be like God. So he's trying to pull her and Adam into the same sin that he did himself, knowing good and evil. The sad thing is, Adam and Eve were already created in God's image. They didn't have to eat the fruit to become like God. They were created in God's likeness and in his image. But Satan always causes us to get our focus off of that and to begin to focus on self, so that I can do things my way, what I want, what I feel, what I need, what's right for me. And it is never satisfying. It never meets the need, because that's not what we were created for. We were created to be a reflection of him, to reflect his likeness. And the sad thing is, when we do that, when we focus on reflecting ourselves, we miss out on being who God created us to be, reflecting what he created us to reflect, and understanding more and more about our Father who created us. You know, the beautiful thing, as I get to know my children, the more that I get to know them, the more that I see things of myself in them. As we get to know God, the more he will be able to infuse himself into us, and we will be able to see ourselves in him. We will get to know him and understand more about him. It's amazing. When I became a parent, all of a sudden, there were lessons about God as my Father that I had never understood before I became a parent. And I began to understand, on a small level, the love that a parent has for their child. And I began to understand in ways that I had never understood before how much God loves us. When I look at Jude, and he's 2 months old, I mean, he doesn't do anything for us except smile at us. I mean, we feed him, we change him, he pees all over the bed, and we change the sheets and change him, and everybody gets up, and all he has to do is smile, and we all go, oh, and we all just want to hold him, and we want to take care of him. I understand just a little bit of how much God loves us. Just a little bit. He loves us so much because we are his creation, because he created us. And I loved Jude before he has done anything for me, but I loved him before he even could smile at me. God loved you before. The Bible says God sent his love while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. But we, in trying to work ourselves to gain his love, we get inwardly focused, and then we fail, and then we focus on how much I can't do it, and then we quit. And all of those things hurt God, because none of them were his intention. His intention was for us to look at him, to realize who he is, and allow him to show us who we are as we are reflected in him. We are to reflect his light. The world is always focused on lifting up self. That's why being in the spotlight is such a big deal. Ezekiel 28:17, remember, said, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Lucifer was no longer satisfied to reflect the light of his creator. He wanted his own spotlight. He wanted to reflect his own brightness. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He is our light. When we reflect his brightness, his light fills our life. John 1:8, talking about John the Baptist, said he was not that light, not in himself. He was sent to bear witness of that light. When we walk with him, we have his light shining through him, through us. Without him, we end up focusing on our own brightness and trying to be the brightest star, so to speak. Matthew 6:22 and 23 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." Notice this part here. "If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Human selfish light is darkness, ultimately, because it doesn't reflect the true light. It says in John 1, that was the true light. Jesus is the only true light. And only as we allow him to shine through us do we reflect true light. Number 3, we are to reflect his beauty. And I was thinking, God, how do we do that? One way is by praising and worshiping him. Psalm 33, and I didn't understand this until now, how God has had me read this, I feel like, every day. It said, "Praise for the upright, from the upright is beautiful." When we praise our God, we reflect his beauty. Also, Romans 10:15 says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Now, I don't know how beautiful your feet are, physically speaking. Some people have more beauty. Some people, I look at their feet and I'm like, wow, they really do have like physically beautiful feet. I'm not one of those people, but some people do. But this says, how beautiful are the feet of those. When we do his will, we reflect his beauty. Because it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. So, how do we do these things? How do we reflect? Well, we have to do the second part. We have to take up our cross. In order to reflect him, we have to die to self. Like Galatians 2:20 said, I'm going to read it again. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Why do I have to be crucified? Because unless we die, our ultimate focus and goal will be to feed self, to make self happy, to glorify self, to reflect self. Yet when we choose to die instead, we get to live with him and for him and by him. Romans 6, verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So we don't die. God's not advocating mass suicide, that we all just commit suicide. No, he's saying we die to self. Why? So that we can be raised to live in Christ, to live with his goals and with his reflecting his light and having his peace and knowing his love and understanding our purpose. But we have to die to self in order to do that. Why? Because self will keep us so focused on me, and it becomes so inwardly focused. And that is a dangerous place to stay. And when we do that, it causes us not anymore to be able to see who God is. And when we can't see who God is, we don't see any hope. Any hope for change, any hope for peace, any hope for joy, because all of that comes from God. That's why whenever you find yourself, recognize, are you looking inward? Are you focused on self? And begin to take your view off of self and begin instead to look at God. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It doesn't stop with the death. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I got to tell you, there is not one ounce of regret that I have for living as a Christian. Zero. I do not wish that I could go out and get drunk every weekend so that I could be a slave to that. Because that's what it causes you to become. It's a slave of those things. I don't wish that I could live my own life and try to figure out things on my own and not have the wisdom of God and not have the peace of God and not have the joy of knowing him. It is a wonderful thing to live with him. Knowing, verse 9, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Often the reason that people quit on Christianity is they say, I can't. I can't give up these things. I can't do those things that are required. But the problem is, they are not reckoning themselves dead to sin. See, when we begin to study the scripture, and that's why you have to get in the word. If you are a Christian, you have to begin to read the Bible. Because you will not just understand all of these things if you don't spend time studying the word. But as you begin to understand who you are and what God says about you, then you can begin to retrain your thinking. See, if you become a Christian, you come to this altar, you say a nice sinner's prayer, but your mind is never transformed, and then you just have the same thoughts that you've always had. You look at things the same way. You feel the same things. You do the same things. You act the same ways. You are going to struggle as a Christian and ultimately quit. It's just going to happen. You have to renew your mind. If you are going to live as a Christian, your thinking has to change. You can't think the same way that you thought before. That's why Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples and giving them commandments and saying, if you love me, keep these commandments. Because we can't say we love God if we're not keeping his commandments. It's a package deal. If we love him, then we will begin to follow his commandments. But how can we follow his commandments if we don't know what they are? We have to make an effort to let him show us the truth. And then we have to let that truth begin to pull out the wrong ways of thinking and replace it with the right ways of thinking. In other words, when I come and I feel like I am not worthy to come into the presence of God, and yet God's word says that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in my time of need. See, if I never read that scripture, then I don't think I can come to God's presence at all. If I just go by my feelings and I haven't read 1 John 1:9 that says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you, well, then I just feel unforgiven the rest of my life and I feel like God probably won't forgive me and the sin that I've committed is too great and I just quit. But when I begin to read the word and I understand, and when I come to church, see, church is like a prepared meal of the word. Somebody has already studied it and they just offer it to you already prepared. But one meal a week is not enough. You need to be getting in the word and feeding your spirit every day, just the same as you feed your body. And if you don't understand it, you ask the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says the Holy Spirit teaches. So you say, God, I need you to help me understand this. And if you don't understand it still, you go to somebody and you say, hey, I'm trying, but I don't understand this. Can you help me understand this? We have to put forth some effort in our Christian walk. We have to die to self. But the end of serving self is slavery and death. People end up serving the thing that was supposed to make them happy. Because serving self always brings death. Look in Romans 6, 20 through 23, and I'm going to wrap this up. It says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? In other words, that stuff, all of that sin, what fruit do you have in that? We just end up being ashamed of the things that we did. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. See, we don't only get peace and joy and love and wisdom and grace and understanding in this life. We get eternal life with our Father forever in heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Serving God brings life and peace. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally, fleshly focused is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So much is focused on self. When we choose to die to self, though, we don't have to live as slaves to who we've always been. And this is the cool thing. And I shared this last week or maybe Wednesday. I don't remember. I was in youth, and the youth always pray together. And Jeremy had told them, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he was telling them, see, that means that this way that I've always been, I don't have to look at myself that way anymore. I have become new because all things have become new. We get stuck in our Christian walk at a certain place. Like, say, I'm walking in my Christian walk and I get stuck right here. You know why? Because I go, that is how I am. That's how I've always been. That's how I'll always be. And then we let what I am, rather than who he is and what he can do, we let that stop me from going any further. We go, no, you don't understand. This is how I am. This is who I am. We have got to let that go. We have got to die to self. Remember what we started with. Deny means to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. Now, if God wanted to make us all look the same, he would have made us all look the same. God loves variety. Every one of you in here looks different. And God created every one of you. But when I am so focused on self, and all the time, it's things that are holding us back. But when we begin to realize, you know what? This is who I was. I'm not that person anymore. Sorry, John. You stopped my illustration. It was supposed to go further. That was my fault. I kicked it at his big old boot. But it's not that big. That's true. Anyway, when we understand, I should have kicked it down here so y'all could all see it. When we understand, I'm not bound to be that person anymore. You know, I just don't worship. I'm just not a worshiper. All things have become new. I become a worshiper because God's word tells me to, so I learn how to do it because his word tells me to. So I learn to look at you and go, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is a daily, even this morning, I felt myself falling back into some old sin and patterns. And I went, I am not that person anymore. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to let myself get overwhelmed and worried and consumed with those things because all things are becoming new. Because just because I was that way before, I am looking at Jesus and he says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we learn to step over and to kick those things out of the way that hold us back in our Christian walk. And then we are continually, steadily growing to look more like Jesus and reflect more of his beauty and his image and his character and his light. And then we have peace and joy because we are constantly looking at him who is love, who is peace, who is joy. And so we are going to play a video. And I just challenge you that as this video is played, that you prepare your heart. We're going to take communion, and we're just going to let this song play. And then after that, we're going to pray over communion. We're going to invite you to come and take communion. And so I challenge you, the scripture does say in 1 Corinthians 11, to examine yourself. Whether you be in the examine yourself. In fact, I'm going to read it, 1 Corinthians 11. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the Lord, with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And so I just challenge you, as this song plays, if you feel unworthy, just surrender that to, if God is convicting you of something, just ask him to forgive you. Confess your sins. Let him cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then accept it, knowing our worthiness doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from us being cleansed by the blood of Jesus, by what he did. None of us are worthy. It doesn't matter that I've been in church my whole life. I am not worthy of myself to come into God's presence. I am worthy because of Jesus, because of what he did. And so as this song plays, if you're convicted of things, if you realize that you've missed it, just repent. Just ask God to forgive you and commit God with your help, not by my own strength, not in my own way, but with your power and by looking at you and focusing my attention on you, I'm going to change.